There are three crosses of Calvary during this time. When we think about Calvary, I have written this for you all in story type form again. When we think about Calvary, we usually think about the cross of Christ. When someone says Golgotha, the place of the skull, or Mount Calvary, then we think about, yeah, it's where Jesus, okay. Although the cross of our Savior looms higher in our minds than any other, there were three crosses on Calvary that day. And the three combined. Now this is how God set it up. That's why it's like this. God set this up. It's His story. And you and I must tell His story the way He tells us to tell His story. Not our way. There were three crosses on Calvary that day, and the three combined tell a story we often overlook. To each of these crosses was nailed a man, each dying in three different ways toward sin. Each dying in three different ways toward sin. Number one, the first cross represents man's choice to die in sin. Now, all people who die in their sins do so for the same reason. They choose not to believe in Jesus. They choose not to believe in the Christ who has come. Luke 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him. Now folks, one thing is mighty important. You and I as believers, you and I as Christians, we need to understand something. And this something we need to understand is very, very important. Do not blaspheme God's name. You got it? Do not blaspheme God. Many people will say, many Christians say, I don't curse. Really? Yeah, I'm not going to blaspheme God by cursing. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever known that God asks you to do something, you don't do it? That's blasphemy. Have you ever listened to someone who it says they're preaching or teaching, and you as a Christian, you know good and well, whoa, they're way off there. That's not what the Bible says. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy and using God's name in vain has nothing to do with the slang words to begin with. Christians do it all the time. They will attribute that which should go to Christ. They assign it to the devil. Well, he can't be saved. He wasn't saved like I was saved. I remember how I was saved. And that's not the way he's saying he got saved. So therefore, he ain't saved. That's blasphemy. That's cursing. Using God's name in vain. I've seen people curse God on their deathbed. I know the feeling. My feeling to hear it, afraid, but he might not have been afraid in that prison. This chaplain was terrified. That you can witness the expression on that kind of a face, cursing God in the process of dying. Any chaplain in his right mind would have ran out. I would have, whether I had the right mind or not, but I was petrified. Joel Mastriano. I had already buried his leg at Chicken Hill at prison. He had diabetes and they had to amputate his leg, and he made me promise to bury the rest of him with his leg. That leg and the other part of the body meant nothing. Without the spirit, the body is dead already. But to get around anyone who will charge God foolishly, Christian, you better be terrified. And the closer you walk with Christ, that terrifying statement and that feeling that you have, well, you know, I'm supposing that that feeling is the same kind of feeling that you would have being at the crosses, all three of them. You're witnessing men on crosses. How did they die on the cross? It was the most vicious of all deaths. They suffocated to death. They would get to the point in order to breathe, they had to push up. And eventually when they would break their legs, they just drowned. They smothered to death. The horrifying feeling. And that first cross, he chose to die in his sin. All people who die in their sins do so for the same reason. They choose not to believe in Christ. Luke 23:29. Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." I can tell you right now, the one who blasphemes God does not care anything about Christ saving himself. They just wanted off that cross. Unbelief rejects Christ's saving power. I don't believe that you have the power to save yourself or us. That's what the criminal was saying. I don't believe you've got that power. Death in sin comes because of a disrespect for God. Now, I might show contempt or disrespect for people that I feel are misleading others in their preaching or teaching. But I can never, ever imagine going back to sleep if I disrespected my God and His truth. Human beings sin against or do bad things to each other. Yeah, you agree with that? I mean, it's just man's inhumanity to man. We didn't learn that from the books from ancient times, not to understand that it is always going on. Jesus, the only 100% human, 100% God man, the only one. He conquered it all for you, for me. He had conquered it already. He was ready to, you know, offer forgiveness to both of the criminals on either side. But one chose to blaspheme. The second cross represents man's choice to die to sin. First one died in sin. Second one died to sin. Death to sin comes because of an acknowledgement of personal guilt. Until we acknowledge personal guilt, that repentance is acknowledging that I'm a sinner, that I was lost. That's what conviction by the Holy Spirit does, makes me see myself as I am, as a human being, and the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "Let me show you now what I got waiting for you." Is it better? Jesus doesn't get any better. When he entered my heart, I got all of Jesus there ever has been to have. And when he entered me, and then to call me to his service to proclaim his truth, I had to acknowledge my own guilt before I could help others who have not yet acknowledged their guilt. And I know it's true. Every one of us as Christians, we could get on a guilt trip every time we open our eyes. People say, you know, first thing I did, soon as I got out of bed, I sinned. Well, I got news for you. You sinned before you ever got out of the bed. You open those eyes, and I guarantee you, either a thought in your mind or a word from your lips, you sinned. But the same Jesus that knows all about me, that knew me before I was ever woven in my mother's womb, that same Savior, the very one I'm talking about, the very one who went to the cross, that same Savior knew when I would give my heart to him. And he knew all the dumb stuff I would do after I gave my heart to him. But I still his. You know, it takes us a long time to catch on, or does me. I mean, it just takes, you talk about, if there ever was anybody that needed a 2x4 upside their head, it's most of us men, except for Larry. Need that 2x4. You see, Jesus, I just picture this. All right, someone slap Larry Pete upside the head with a 2x4, will you? And here comes the Lord. Don't worry, Larry. I put padding all around it. So I get socked with a loving 2x4. I'm going to show you how much I love you, Larry. I'm going to take your punishment. No, I know you don't deserve it. Don't start that stuff with me. I know you don't deserve it. But that's my story. That's what you're supposed to be studying. That's my story. I did it, not you. I love you. And you'll spend the rest of your life trying to love me. And until you leave that human body, you will never conquer the whole idea of true love. But I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You're rotten, but you're mine. I'll be there when you feel broken. I'll be praising with you when you're singing praises to me through my son. And when you fall, I'll catch you. When you do the foolish stuff of life, I'll be the one in the bottom of the ditch waiting for you, because I know where you're headed. And I will not allow you to go further than the ditch of life. I will only allow you to see my grace and my love. Can we not understand the greatest love story ever told? It's the kind of story where God says, I love you. No matter what you did, no matter what you are, how you see yourself, I know you and I love you. And I want you to know that my love will never end. My love for you will never give up. Though the world come at you, I will warn woe to the world. For to attack one of my children is to blaspheme my Father. And they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but they won't. They'll beg for death, but they will not be able to die. They will live in their own bodies with their own torment. And through those actions, they will have judged themselves. Because you see, Larry, I love them too. I gave them the same opportunity I've given you. Whosoever will, let him come. Don't care if you were poorer than dirt. I created the dirt. And the more I study, you find out that's a pretty good feeling to be that poor. Because Almighty God made each one of us out of the dust of the ground. And we're going to go right back to it. This body is. I ain't going. I'm going to be with the rest of you. When you said yes to Jesus, and he says, well, that's my storyline. I like Jesus' story. Death to sin comes because of an acknowledgement of personal guilt. Listen to Luke 23, 40 through 41. I was going to read the story, and I started preaching. So just suck it up and let's go. You ready? Luke 23, 40 through 41. But the other answering, meaning answering to that first criminal, died in his sin. Answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? Now listen to him. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now can't you imagine that scene up on the cross? Can't you imagine John the Beloved? He was the only disciple that was there looking at that one trying to... Oh my goodness. He was seeing the love of Christ all around those three crosses, even to the point of projecting down to the ones who were crucifying them. He did not question that he was justly suffering. And are we honest enough to do the very same thing? Oh, Lord, I said yes to you. Why do I have to suffer? You know, we Christians have become nothing but a bunch of sissy snowflakes. It is pitiful. Oh, why do I have to suffer? Good gracious, Christian, get over it. We don't know what suffering is. Read the story of Jesus on the cross. Read the story of you and me in his heart. Understand that of all of creation, every human being that had ever existed or ever will, Jesus had to die for each individual sin, for each individual personality. You talk about the weight of the cross. Do we not understand that as he's walking, we see the Son of God, know the story? And he falls, he can know the weight of the cross is too heavy. He was giving us another lesson. In your human body, you cannot bear the cross. The human being cannot handle the cross. It's too heavy. The cross of my own individual sins, I cannot bear it, for it is too heavy. So they pick one other human to help him carry the cross. A great lesson, a story told to the church. Lift one another up. Be yoke fellow with me, says Jesus. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You cannot bear it yourself. All the way of Golgotha path. The story of our Savior was being told. And all the shouting and the ones reaching for His garment just to touch the hem of it. Story after story. But it was the story of who Jesus is and who He wants to be in your life and mine. And as He is, He did not question that He was justly suffering. Death to sin comes because of one surrender to Jesus Christ. Luke 23:42. Then He said to Jesus, this is the criminal, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now folks, you got to get it, Christian. His own disciples hadn't figured it out yet. Your kingdom, Lord? Show us the Father and we'll believe. And you've got the criminal, a murderer, that's hung on that cross that already believes. Because He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knew Jesus' kingdom wasn't down here. He knew Jesus' teachings. The second man said, I believe. Belief accepts Christ at face value. I like to say belief accepts Christ at cross value. The blood on the cross was for you and me. We come from a great bloodline, folks. When we said yes to Jesus, they talk about the blue bloods. Well, I got news for you. We are the bright red bloods of Jesus Christ. We become not only a part of His family, we become His family. The second man's public profession of faith guaranteed. Now listen to it. That's why I want you to take these copies. Guaranteed Jesus' public acceptance of Him. See, Jesus already promised us. Whosoever comes, calls on my name, I will in no wise push away. And here the criminal, the murderer, he is recognizing Jesus for who He says He is. Jesus says, I am He. Oh, I love the I ams, don't you? Jesus says, I am He. And then He looks at me and looks at you and says, you're with me. I like being with the I am, don't you? I like to knowing that I can't have... I messed up so much in my life. You all think you got a bunch of new leaves you're turning over. I got volumes. But there's one that I'll never ever have to answer for. Actually, nothing will I have to answer for. But one thing's for sure. When I said to Jesus, I believe, Jesus was letting us know right then, no longer talk to me about sin, for you are mine. What sin are you talking about? You think it's so bad and so hard? Have I not died for the roughest of all? And have I not lived and survived for them also? I've said many times that we need to remember the people of the world may try to trip us up and just daring for us to slip up. But they really don't want us to slip up. they'd like to finally at some point see someone who will stand for the truth of Christ. To stand up for the truth of Christ. They want, if you can make it, if Larry Vance can get saved, there's nobody that's left out that can't get saved. And every one of us look at our life that very way, don't we? Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said to him, this is the New King James Version here too, assuredly, I still like the old verily, verily, or I promise, okay, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, how are you going to question that? You know, that's not really what he meant. And isn't it amazing how we have so many supposed to be intelligent people telling us, I know Jesus said it, but that's not really what he meant. I do not find anywhere in Scripture or in my heart, I couldn't even find it in your heart, Christian, to where that if Jesus said it, count on it. Not only that, count on it as though it has already taken place. Are you going to heaven, Larry? Jesus said, when I said yes to him, I could count it that I'm already there. Now, I haven't got to see in yet, but I have a glimpse of the feeling when I said yes to Jesus. Looking back over my life, now, looking back, tracing my footsteps, I do see Jesus everywhere. And I don't know why he kept putting up with me. Folks, I don't know why he continues to put up with me. But I do know this. This is his story. And I don't care what the world said. You ain't changing his story. It's the only honest, true story that you will ever, ever witness. Then the most significant, cross three in the center, represents God's choice to die for my sin, your sin, all sin, because there was no other way. You and I don't understand that. We don't understand so much because we have to look at it from the human existence. And God teaches us through the spiritual. And we keep seeing this and seeing that and said, well, this is what's real to me. It's down here. No, my friends. The only thing that is real is what you can't see. The only reality of your existence and my existence is a reality in the realm of the kingdom of God that you and I cannot see. So therefore, we will get there through blind faith. I believe Jesus. How's he going to do this? I don't care. I do care that he's going to do this. And I'm one of the thises that he's already done. You tell me there's a more exciting story, period, in life itself, even fantasy. Do you ever read, you know, all of the spiritual truths of Scripture? And the world says, well, it's just fantasy. Those are just fairy tales. You got to deal with real life. That happens to be my real life and yours too, Christian. It's the only thing that is real. And not only that, it's the only thing that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Because there was no other way, Jesus prayed the night before his death. Luke 22, 42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. You see, Jesus had the feel the total agony of separation from God the Father, you and I will never have that feeling. You and I will never, ever have to go through that feeling. When we said yes to Jesus, we can never, ever be separated from that spiritual truth. Never. Jesus had to be. And he knew what was coming. Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me of going to the cross. If it another way, Lord, Father, I'd appreciate it if we'd think about it. But then, in the same breath, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. Because you see, there never was, nor is there still, any other way other than the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Ah, period. End quote. That's it. And it's the real exciting part is, and we haven't even really begun yet. See, what God has planned for us. Now, when God gives us all of this love and all this eternal love and the peace that and the joy, no more crying, no more sickness, no more aches and pains and agonies and tongues going wild and all of this stuff. Nope. We will be one with our Lord. And then he says, I will send you out. You will go out and come back in the presence of God. And as you all know, I get so excited wondering where I'm going out to. Now, where am I going out to? And I still love the idea of, really, those six worlds that are out there, they've just discovered, and how many millions of years it's going to take me to get there. You don't know Jesus. Knowing Jesus, I already got my ticket. And when Jesus says, I want you there, you'll be there before he finishes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your story. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, as you touch our lives, you will help us to push our story to the back and always present yours. It's about what you have done, Father. It's your love. It's your truth. It's your spirit. It's your forgiveness. He is your Son, and he is our Lord. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.